If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20. A little different message I'd like to share with you today. The message entitled, Despise Not Prophecy. The gift of prophecy. How many are thankful for the spiritual gifts that God has provided for His church? And I believe they are to be used for the glory of His kingdom and for the encouragement of the saints. Reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Once again, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Let's bow our hearts together this morning and let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the sharing of His word. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being with us today. We thank You for Your sweet spirit ministering as we lifted up Your name in worship. We thank You, Lord, for Your hand upon our lives, and we thank You for the ministry of the Word of God. Now, as we come before You, Lord Jesus, at this time, Lord, to look at Your Word and receive encouragement and instruction, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be in this place, upon this speaker, and also upon every hearer. Lord, You might be glorified in our lives. And we ask this all in Your holy name. Amen. We have been at the beginning of this year, and already I believe we're about halfway through the first quarter, so my, how time flies. But we've been focusing upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We spoke several weeks back about the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit, how the desire for that seems to be waning, at least waning in our movement. We looked at the words of the Apostle Paul, how he came upon believers. And one of the first things that he wanted to know is whether or not they had been filled with the Holy Spirit, because he knew that was an important part of their relationship with Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about the effects of the Holy Spirit. And when I speak of the effects of the Holy Spirit, we spoke specifically about how the Holy Spirit affects us personally. How when we're filled with the Holy Spirit touches our mind and gives a spiritual understanding and discernment that we don't have on our own. Ever read the Bible and walked away a little more confused than when you began? Well, pray. Let me tell you, and I'll just share a personal example, and I don't mean to re-preach last week's sermon, but I do want to share this with you. There are times when God lays a scripture on my heart to preach, and I have no idea what it means. And then I'll go, and I have some books and things, and also, thank God, we have the internet, and we'll go to that and look to that, and I still won't have any understanding. What in the world is this guy talking about? But when I get on my knees and pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to give me understanding regarding His Word, He is faithful. It may not happen then, but in the course of time between receiving that message and preaching it, God reveals in Jesus' name what His Word said. We also talked about how the Holy Spirit affects our bodies. And in fact, the Bible says that the second Adam, Jesus, was a quickening spirit. The Holy Spirit quickens our bodies, but also our bodies are empowered for service. We lay hands on the sick, and they recover. Our bodies are instruments of God's Holy Spirit. It's important to God, our human bodies. And we also talked about the importance of God moving upon our Holy Spirit. You want to be more than who you are in Christ? You want to have more love and joy and peace? Be filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, your spirit will bear the fruit of those things. Godly things, righteous things, holy things. But the Holy Spirit not only affects us personally, it affects us as a body. As we minister to one another, where we can minister to one another more than we can just in and of ourselves. I hope that made sense to you. It seemed to be a little jumbled in my mind for whatever reason this morning. But in our own ability, we're limited as far as how we can assist someone who is going through tough or difficult times. But bless God, we don't have to rely solely on our limited selves to bless someone when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, because God has given us gifts, spiritual gifts. And that word gift is the word charismata, an endowment of grace, something from God that He freely gives in order to help to meet people in their needs, that God may be glorified in their lives. Gifts of healings and miracles for those who are facing difficult times. Gifts of knowledge and wisdom for those who are at a time of confusion in their walk before the Lord Jesus Christ. And gifts of tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, which we're going to focus on this morning, which build His church. In fact, the greatest of all of the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, those endowments of power or grace from God, the most important, according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, is that of prophecy. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially, I'm paraphrasing this morning, desire the manifestation of the gift of prophecy in your church. The book of 1 Corinthians was a letter written to a church. And so if God's word says it's something that we should not despise, and it is something that we should pursue, then we better do it if we're to receive and live in the full blessing that God has for us. What is prophecy? Literally, the word prophecy can be translated to speak for. It's no great complicated thing. You don't have to go into great word studies. Literally means is to speak for, or to speak out. It's a way that the word of God is ministered. Notice I said a way and not the way, because the word of God is ministered in many different ways to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that of preaching, what I'm doing this morning. Preaching, and the Greek word from preaching is completely different from the Greek word that is translated into our English word prophecy. The word preaching means to declare or to proclaim, like a herald would. You know, in olden days, hear ye, and so on and so forth. That's why guys like me are up here and shout and do, because that's what preaching is. It's declaring. And there's a specific purpose for that declaration. The declaration that God puts on the heart of preachers. And I'm sure I'm not the only preacher that's here. I'm sure many of you are preachers at your jobs and at your homes. In fact, I might ask some of your kids, does your dad or your mom preach to you? And I bet a lot of them would say, yes, they do, quite often. But the purpose of preaching, it is something that speaks to the heart. It's the ministry of the Word of God to the heart. And what I mean by that, the purpose of preaching is to bring individuals to a place of decision. Of course, decisions being made in the heart. Think of the scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to do what? To save those who believe. What is the purpose of preaching according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and also Romans chapter 10? To bring people to Christ. And how does someone receive Christ in their lives? They make a decision that they're going to accept Him as the Son of God who died for them and who rose again, and also make the decision that they are going to serve Him. And such is the purpose of preaching. It's not so much an instructional time, which we'll talk about in just a moment.
It's a time that God has ordained to be in His church to bring His people to a place of decision, of higher commitment and devotion to God. Preaching is important. But teaching is important as well. It's another way the Word of God is ministered. And it is different from preaching. Teaching is instructional. I like to think of teaching as the nuts and bolts, so to speak, of our faith. In fact, I believe one reason that many people who find Christ don't continue in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is because of a lack of teaching. Because what teaching does, it lays down a foundation of what serving God is all about and who God is. Taking time to instruct people about not just giving a brief definition of what sanctification is or what redemption is or what salvation is or those things or the moral code that we have or grace or so on and so forth, but giving people an understanding of what truly the depth and the breadth of grace or redemption or sanctification is, so that we can be solid. It's a very important part of the ministry of the Word of God. Then there's what Paul refers to as, and at least in the King James Version, as exhorting people. And this is something that we should all do. What is exhorting? It's encouraging someone. Where preaching speaks to the heart and teaching speaks to the mind, what exhorting does, or encouragement does, is speak to the emotion. And our emotions are a very big part of us, aren't they? In fact, if we're not careful, cannot our emotions rule us to the point of making a bad decision? So do they not also need influence from the Spirit of God and the Word of God? Absolutely. And that's where encouragement comes in. When someone sees someone going through a difficult time, reminding them that Jesus loves them and sharing the Word of God, that neither height nor breadth nor things past or present can separate us from the love of God. Or regarding healing, or regarding God's faithfulness, or whatever it might be, the Word of God is something that encourages our emotional framework. Because it's quick and powerful. It's not just nice words. It's powerful. The Word is also ministered through the agency of prophecy, or through the act of prophecy. And what I believe prophecy is something that speaks to a man or woman's spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:3 describes the effect of prophecy this way. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Last week we took some time and we talked about what is the spirit of a man. You know, when we think of a spirit, we think of that force that drives a man or a woman. You know, someone who is of high spirits is someone who's what? They're walking on cloud nine. They're smiling. They're happy. They're strong. But someone who is a broken spirit is also what? Downcast, downhearted, discouraged, on the verge of giving up. Your spirit has a very important influence in your life. It's something that God gave you brand new when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And the Word of God ministered through prophecy speaks to your spirit, strengthens it, encourages it, and comforts it in Jesus' name. Now we think of prophecy, going back to Theology 101. A lot of times when people think of prophecy, they think of those guys with the big boards that talk about what's going to happen at the end. Let's go through Daniel and Revelation and let's find out, which is all good. We just went through Revelation a short time ago on Wednesday night, and it was a wonderful study. I just really enjoyed going through that book. And that is part of prophecy, foretelling what is going to happen in the future, but not all. It's not something that's going to predict what's going to happen or share definitely what's going to happen. Prophecy literally is to bring forth. It's to declare the Word of God, whatever it might be. Read, if you would, the books in the Old Testament known as the prophetic books. And yes, in those books there are things that foretell the future, foretell who Christ is going to be, how He's going to come, being born of a virgin, being born in Bethlehem, all the things that He's going to do. There is that prophetic nature of future sight. But there's also calls to repentance. You've been erring. Let me tell you, encouragement is not always positive, is it? Sometimes I think of encouragement and I've never been in the military, but those of you who might have been, I'm sure that the encouragement that you received from your superiors wasn't always rah-rah. You can do it, man. It's you better do it or you're in big trouble. And I'm probably putting it very nicely compared to the way some who do it. But it's the ministry of the Word of God. Whatever that word is, and there is an acute difference between the ministry of prophecy and all the other aspects of the ministry of the Word of God, and that is the mind. Because what you need in order to encourage people, what you need in order to teach people, what I need or those who are called to preach need as far as to preach people, is yes, the influence of the Holy Spirit on your life, but you also need your mind engaged. I remember a friend of mine, this was before I was even called to ministry, and I used to like to razz him about ministry. He said, well, he was pastoring or assistant pastor someplace, and he had to preach. And he said, well, I got to go study, and it's going to take some time. And I thought to myself, study? What are you going to study for? If you're a preacher, you just should open up your Bible and let it flow. Boy, was I wrong. If I did that, we'd have some real short sermons. Don't say amen. Amen. Bless God. Your mind is an essential element in ministering the Word of God. How can you minister a word of encouragement if you don't know what's in the pages of this great book? Amen. Promises of God. How can you preach without knowing the Word of God? How can you instruct people without being people of study? We can't. The mind is essential. But regarding prophecy, the mind and the influence of the mind is completely opposite. In that the mind is not something not only that we don't need, oftentimes it gets in the way. Because what prophecy is inspiration from solely the Holy Spirit, if it's true prophecy, as far as what is to be spoken. 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 1, verse 21, says, I have it here, I thought I had it here somewhere, but I'll quote it to you by memory. Prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God inspired them to write, gave them the words, and when we prophesy, we're given the words solely from God, and our mind has absolutely nothing to do with it. In fact, if our mind interjects something, it taints and it takes away from the ministry of prophecy. And let me share with you just personally, prophecy, another great aspect, because it is so powerfully anointed, when it's true prophecy, has a profound effect. And I'll share with you an example. I won't share with you the specifics, at least not yet. But at one time in my life, I just really felt I needed to hear from God. And I think we've all been there. God, I really need to hear from you. And someone shared with me a word of prophecy. And it wasn't, thus saith the Lord, and they didn't stand up and shout. They just spoke something to me, again, to bring forth. And let me tell you, when they said that, it wasn't something that I received in my mind. It wasn't something that I solely received in my heart. It was something that affected my spirit. where my faith regarding the situation went from about here to about up here. And it wasn't because I was just all excited. My emotions weren't engaged because my emotions at that time weren't that great, to be honest with you. But the effect of the anointed word of God, that word of prophecy, had a profound effect upon my heart. It's an important and valuable thing that we have in our relationship with Jesus. But there is also, unfortunately, a great problem with the ministry of prophecy in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. In fact, there seems to be two extremes as far as prophecy. On the one hand, there are those, in reference to our opening text this morning, who shy away from or who despise prophecy. Again, the scripture as it is in the NIV, do not treat prophecies with contempt. There are many in the body of Christ, and the onus on this is particularly upon us as leaders, pastors, and so forth, is to despise in one way or another, or treat with contempt one way or another, the gift of prophecy, that gift that God says we should desire and is powerful in our lives. That word contempt could also be translated to make no account of, to regard as nothing, to despise. We have examples in Scripture where this word was used. One example that we have is that of Herod, the ruler of Palestine during the time of Christ. When Christ, at the time of his crucifixion, before he was crucified, was presented before Herod, Herod, because Jesus didn't perform tricks for him as he wanted, he viewed Jesus as some kind of magician, in a mocking and in a contemptible sense, dressed Jesus up in a purple robe, gave him a reed, and they all began to worship him. But it wasn't true worship. They were mocking him. They were despising, they were looking down upon him, this common man coming in. In fact, both the Old and New Testament, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. We treat things with contempt. We have hatred towards those things. We belittle those things and ridicule them. Sometimes we do so because we're envious. And I think in, and again, I'm not going to speak about other church movements, only our own, the Assemblies of God. In some circles, at least in the Assemblies, there's an aversion to the gift of prophecy. It's almost like there's a sign on the door, prophecy not welcome. It's not preached about. Not only is it not encouraged, oftentimes it is discouraged. It's discouraged or despised through neglect. People, and again, I think more so, especially this point, I speak not so much to members, but I speak to myself as a leader and other leaders, although none here this morning. We don't preach about it. We don't talk about it. We don't seek for it in our lives and our churches. We seek for people and we seek for money, and you know, nothing wrong with that. But we should be seeking for the things of God. Amen? People receiving Christ and people experiencing Christ to the fullest, including the ministry of prophecy. We can also despise the gift of prophecy because we're critical of the people who are used. What are the qualifications of being someone who is used in this wonderful gift to bring forth the Word of God? Well, of course, they need to know Christ. And I believe personally also you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be a certain age. How about, only guys should prophesy. No ladies. Sorry, ladies. Can't do it. It may have been done, But is it right? How long do you have need? Do you need to be serving Jesus before you prophesy? We can dismiss prophecy because we despise the youth of someone who's being used in this gift. We're looking at that instead of looking at it as something from God that we can be blessed with. We can look down at the maturity or spirituality of the person. They've only been coming here a month. They haven't been serving God that. They just got saved a few weeks ago. And all of a sudden, what is this all about? I'm not going to receive this. Sometimes, and I think this is the greatest reason that many churches shy away from the gift, the exercise of the gift of prophecy, is because of abuses of this gift. You know, Satan tries to muck up everything. But not only, we can't blame everything on Satan. We're also people, because we're flesh and blood, who are subject to error. And so we're going to make mistakes as well. And just like people make all kinds of mistakes, I'm sure I didn't listen carefully, but I'm sure Henry probably plucked a couple of bad chords. No, he says no. So, okay, I'll take your word for it, Henry. Remember, liars. Henry will be the first one up at the front. But there can be, you know, anyone can get up and shout a scripture and put a thus saith the Lord at the end and claim it's prophecy and it not be for whatever reason. Anyone can go to someone and know what situation is going in their lives and say, thus saith the Lord, this thus and so is going to happen, or you're going to go hither and yon and so on and so forth, but not necessarily be prophecy. And it ends up bringing confusion, hurt, and bondage. And then, of course, in the exercise of the spiritual gifts, it is something that is to enhance a service or a gathering of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and not bring confusion. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14, which is the greatest teaching on the exercise of the gift of prophecy, is that says in two places. Number one, God is not the author of confusion. And secondly, everything is to be done decently and in order. But unfortunately, so-called wildfire sometimes affects churches that like to move in the gifts. How many messages should there be, according to Scripture, during a gathering? Two, and sometimes three, but mostly two. Any more than that, it's out of order and brings confusion. And I've shared before where this has happened. I've seen it happen. God does not end up being glorified. His people just end up being confused. And so because of fear, because they don't want to bother with it, many pastors and leaders and churches shy away from seeking, encouraging the gift of prophecy. Sometimes we place unbiblical limitations on prophecy. Well, prophecy is something that should only be shared in a church setting with everybody around. But don't ever receive a personal prophecy. Let me tell you, the book of Acts, a man named Agabus came to Paul and bound Paul and said, such will be done to the man who goes up to Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but that sounds an awful lot to me like a personal prophecy. You can't put unbiblical limitations on the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. You shortchange yourself. And above all, you offend God, saying you know better than He. And so the church, in many instances, is cheated in one of God's avenues of blessing. But on the other side of the spectrum, prophecy can be abused. And I mentioned some of the abuses. You know, people can get caught up, you know, in emotions of things. You know, I want to say something. I got a scripture on my heart, and it's something good and something really ministered to me, but it's not from God. God is not independently of your mind speaking through your mouth. A word of encouragement for the church. It's okay, but it's not a prophecy. But I think one of the greatest dangers, and there are those, and I've seen this, is that prophecy is elevated to a point where it is equal to or even greater than the Word of God. And God never intended that gift to be so. Let me tell you, when people believe that prophecy and the Word of God is equal, the church is in for trouble. Because when you do that, when you believe prophecy is the same, when prophecy, you know, the Word is a guide, and the Word is something that God has given us to check prophecy to make sure it's right, but when it's equal or greater than, if what is prophesied does not jive with the Word of God, those people will take the prophecy over the Word and begin down the path of deception and lies from the enemy. Let me tell you, this is the scriptural proof why prophecy is not equal to the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. All men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this was the Word that was preached to you. What does that say regarding the Word of God as far as its nature? Is it finite or eternal? It is eternal. That means that this world is going to go, but the Word of God will remain. Jesus said the same thing, Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, some people will say, well, isn't prophecy the Word of God? It's the way the Word of God is ministered, but it is not the Word. And we know this from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. What is that saying about the gift of prophecy? Is it eternal? No. So if it's not eternal, then can we say it's equal to the Word of God? Absolutely not. Be very careful in exposing yourself. In fact, we'll talk about this in just a moment, to prophecy. Because there is a danger in that, just like there isn't anything. You know, Satan is right there, and human nature is right there, that can sometimes pervert the gift. So what is our response to this? Well, number one, regarding the exercise of the gift of prophecy, we should have a welcoming, not only a welcoming, but a seeking disposition regarding this precious gift. We should want this. And the reason we should is not because this is something that I just want to have just for me. Because God's Word tells us that we should desire spiritual gifts, namely prophecy. We need to understand that it's a free gift. As a gift, it's simply something to be received. It's not to be it's not something that we have to earn. But also as a gift, just like salvation, it's something that needs to be sought for and looked for. Not only is it free, but all gifts of God are of great value. Because they are eternal. It is the Word. It is a message from God to you or either individually or to a church. And so it's something that needs to be valued. Secondly, now I'm not saying everyone will prophesy, but if we're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, prophecy will be in the midst. You know, read Acts chapter 4. When the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples again, they prophesied. You can say everyone, you know, God will move upon whom He will. Even though all of us may not prophesy, all of us should be recipients of prophecy, if not individually, not saying everyone will receive a personal one, but as a body, we should. War of tongues and interpretation, which the Bible says is equal to the gift of prophecy. So when it happens, and let me tell you, it's not always the pastor, and a lot of times it's not the pastor. It's someone within the church. It requires that wonderful thing that we exercise so freely and assuredly when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, but have a hard time with other aspects of our relationship with Jesus, and that's faith. lot of times we don't, when the Holy Spirit's really moving upon our hearts before we know Jesus, we don't have a hard time believing that He's a Savior and asking Him to come in and forgive us and take control of our lives. But then when it comes to maybe sharing our faith or standing up in a church service and shouting out a message that we feel the Holy Spirit just so strongly upon us to speak out, we don't do it because we're afraid. What if I make a mistake? What if he doesn't like it? Or if he does, you know, what are people going to think of me? So on and so forth. It takes faith. And faith is more than believing. It's acting and it's doing. It's acting out on what you believe. It's not only believing, God, you've given me a message. Now I have to act on it. I have to share that message. In Jesus' name. Thirdly, it is a gift that must be tested. Because of abuse, because there are people sometimes just caught up in the moment, or because they have ulterior motives, they want people to think them as spiritual. They may get up and share something, but it not be of God. And it might be scriptural, it might be good, and it might be said with all the fist-pounding authority that they can muster within their hearts. John says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Of course, that word test could also be translated prove. Prove. Let me tell you, regarding words, the Bible says a soft tongue can what? Break a bone. Words are powerful. What you say can damage a person emotionally or above all spiritually. And especially if something says or someone says something that comes from them and not from God, but they're sharing in the name of God. That thus saith the Lord, this is thus and so in your life. And so messages need to be proven. Let me tell you, and we don't see it very often, and I would, you know, personally would like to see it more in our church as far as the manifestation of prophecy or tongues and interpretation. I listen to everyone carefully, not only to what is said to make sure that it lines up with Scripture, but also to the voice of the Holy Spirit to see whether or not I, as pastor and leader of the church, whether or not this is truly of God or this is just someone caught up in the moment. Because it happens. In fact, I remember once someone shared, and it was in this church, it was some time ago, and they shared what maybe they thought was a prophecy, but in my heart I felt it was just God speaking to them, and they were just speaking that out to the body. And so testing is important. As far as testing in a group setting, it is incumbent upon the leadership of the church, myself, Bill and Bob and other leaders, our council members appointed as spiritual leaders in this church, to test and see whether or not that is true. And if it's not a word of prophecy, it needs to be addressed as such. And if it is, it also needs to be addressed. And I think that's another failing. Prophecies or tongues of interpretation are shared. God is speaking to His church regarding something, and we thank God, oh, you spoke, but we don't act upon what He has spoken. Come to a deeper place of faith. Be encouraged, and so on and so forth. But on an individual level, you have a responsibility. I'm not always going to be with you. And someone around the altar, or someone might call you up. And I've had situations where I felt God wanted me to share something with someone, and it wasn't even during church time. So the next time I caught up with them, and it may have been here, but it may have been at the coffee shop or someplace else, I shared that with them. If it's the Word of God, it doesn't really have an expiration date. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But you might not always have someone right next to you. You need to prove individually what is spoken to you and make sure it's of God. And I hope I put the fear of God in every one of you regarding the exercise of this gift, because we need to have it. Number one, We all need to know the Word of God so that what is spoken, we know for sure whether it lines up with His Word or not. And if it's contrary to His Word, then we know we shouldn't receive this. Second, the book of Proverbs tells us in the counsel of many there's wisdom. And you might be unsure. And you know, there's another gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's called discernment. And sometimes the Holy Spirit just lets you know right then, this is me. But sometimes not. I've had people say things to me, and I just wasn't sure yet. Go to a trusted, mature, Spirit-filled believer in Christ. Share and pray with them. And get their input as well in the name of Jesus. Above all, we're relying on Christ. But Christ has given us one another also to join hands with in the name of Jesus. Thirdly, look at the life of the prophesier. Pastor Randy, you know Matthew 7:1. Don't judge. We shouldn't judge, should we? No, we shouldn't. As far as the heart. But Matthew 7, verse 16, same chapter says, by their fruit you will recognize them. And he's speaking of false prophets. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Let me tell you, if there are not evidences of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit in the life of that person who's prophesying to you, don't receive it. It might sound good. It might be holy scriptural. But the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. So if they're running around on their wife, or they're drunk every night of the week, or if they're lying and cheating or so on and so forth, if things don't line up in their moral relationship with God, don't receive their spiritual counsel in the name of Jesus. You have not only the right, but the mandate to examine, especially a minister's. You have a right to examine my life. If I'm not cutting the mustard, you need to give me the golden boot. I give you permission. And thirdly, or fourthly rather, and just very briefly, in fact, gentlemen, you can come forward if you like. Regarding the exercise of this gift, especially those whom the Holy Spirit moves upon. And you know this is something that God is calling you to do, and maybe it's just one time, but maybe it's 500 times, I don't know. It's up to the Holy Spirit, not me or you. But be open to correction. I never saw that little baby, Marta's little grandbaby. Someday she's going to walk, but let me tell you, before she's walking like you and me, she's going to fall a lot and make mistakes. And so it is learning the ways of the Holy Spirit, not just in the avenue of prophecy, but in other areas as well. We're going to make mistakes. And there may be a time someone might stand up and they're really emotional, and it's not really God, and might say something. And the pastor, whoever's leading, might say, well, I thank that person for that good word. I don't necessarily think that's a word of prophecy, just a nice word that they're sharing or something that God is doing in their mind. Being able to take that like a man or an adult man or adult woman, and not only be willing to take it, but not allow a correction of that matter. And let me tell you, you might say, well, Pastor, that should be done in private. I was told by the founding pastor of this church that public error needs public correction. That which is done in private is corrected in private, but that which is done in public, especially a word, to avoid confusion, needs to be addressed publicly, although in a loving manner. And so there needs to be a willingness, because even though you might have been wrong this time, next time it may be right, and you've got to be willing. Otherwise, if you don't stand up and say there was and speak out that word of prophecy, there was something very important that God wanted to do in that service or that gathering that just didn't happen. And so the service wasn't what it could have been. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning? I'd like us to pray as a church. And just generally speaking, that we would grow spiritually in Jesus' name. Amen? We want to grow, and not one-dimensional. Just, you know, as far as we want to be prophesying. We want to grow in knowledge. We want to grow in spiritual fruit, but we also want to grow and be used in a spiritual sense. And so we're going to pray that God would speak to our hearts, that we would be pursuing that as His Word tells us to. It's not a matter of you know, God, just send this, or God, make us spiritual. What the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:1 is that we're to desire this. And how we demonstrate our desire before the Lord Jesus Christ is to pursue that in prayer. We need to pursue a manifestation of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and especially the gift of prophecy. And I know, because I've seen abuses, I've been the recipient of abuses. I probably unknowingly abused and said things that, you know, in an authoritative way that really were not. And God forgive me. I know it's potentially opened a big can of worms or problems, but let me tell you, the good that will come out of it will be worth it all. Amen, in the name of Jesus. And if we do this correctly and scripturally, and not allow what Pastor Joe, or there's a Joe in the area, maybe I'll see him, Pastor Smith and down the street, or Pastor Jones down another Reuben too. Pastor so-and-so on this end, and Pastor Bubba on that end. Not go by what they say or what they believe or what they experience, but what the Word of God is saying and what the Spirit of God is drawing us to. In Jesus' name. God help us in the name of Jesus. That God, that we not only desire, but that God would give us a solid biblical perspective and practice of all the spiritual gifts. They're done, and they're done decently in order, and not bringing confusion to the body. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father, we just worship You and we thank You, God, because You have done so much. And God, if the only thing You have ever done for us was to die in Calvary for our sins, that would be not just enough, it would have been more than enough for us, immeasurably more. But God, in knowing You, we have so much more, including the gifts and manifestations of Your Holy Spirit in our lives as Spirit-filled believers. And oh God, our focus is always on You. And our desire should always be that You be glorified in our lives and in this church. But in doing so, we are commanded by Your Word to desire spiritual gifts, to seek them, Lord. Not that spiritual gifts should monopolize our prayer time, but part of our prayer time is that, God, You would minister in a spiritual fashion in our church, in our home, in our families, in my relationship with my wife, my husband, my children, at my job, oh God. May the gifts be evident in the name of Jesus. And God, specifically, we pray for an increase of the gift of prophecy, because according to Your Word, it is the greatest gift because it blesses the most people. Open up our hearts, Lord, that we would not have a disposition that says we don't want that here. We don't want anything that rattles the apple cart or shakes things up at all. We just like things nice and simple, oh God. God, help us, Lord, to desire everything that You have provided for us through Calvary.